Good afternoon, ladies, and good afternoon, gentlemen. Here we are for another blazing episode of Cover Your Six. I'm your host. You know me. I'm Ron Easton. Business out of the way first. If you have any questions, concerns, advice, anything, suggestions, the whole shot, go to my email, and that would be coveryoursix podcast@gmail.com. Now, if you want to go to the page and catch up on previous episodes of this podcast, you go to coveryoursixpodcast.com, and that will take you directly to the page. I want to thank, before I go any further, I want to thank, number one, my producer here, Philip Gracia, here at Frogtown Tuned In Studios in Minneapolis, or St. Paul, actually, for the work that we do each and every week. We promised that it was going to get better and better and better, and it indeed is doing that. I also want to thank my publicist, Donna Segura, for maintaining the website and just being a peach. I call, hi, sugar, how you doing? You know, this last week has been, as they say, a bitch. Because as of today, or in the next few days, there will be millions of people that will go hungry. Because SNAP benefits are being taken away. I want you to stop and think about that for a second, because 40% of the people who receive and benefit from the SNAP benefits are children, kids. They may not be your kids, but believe me, there are children that you know that are starving near you. And then the other thing, the Affordable Care Act. People are going to go without Medicare and Medicaid here pretty soon. So the elderly and the children are being attacked by this incompetent, abhorred administration in Washington, D.C. And what is he doing? He's off jerking off Xi and Putin and every other autocrat around the world because he aspires to be that person. He aspires to put his foot on the back of America's neck and make us bow to his will. I'm here to tell you right now, that's not going to happen. Over my dead body. Is that going to happen? I keep wondering, though, what happened to the fighting spirit of this country? What happened to the people who blazed all kinds of trails and were pioneers and had no fear, showed no fear? Have you become that soft that you allow one individual, one man, to make you cower like this? What about the people who are supposed to be in Washington, D.C. representing your benefit, your politicians, your Republicans and your Democrats? They're not doing a damn thing for you. There is no people's business being done right now. Why? Because little Mike Johnson, Ms. Thang, she has basically shut down everything. Why? Because of the Epstein files. Now, this week, I made a joke about something that I saw. But it's no joking matter here, all right? I'm talking about the hug that took place between Miss Maybelline, Shady Vance himself, and Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica. Now, she's standing there. She's a grieving widow, right? Charlie is barely in the ground cold. She's wearing these tight leather pants. And when she hugged this man, there was a full-on body press with the hand up behind the head, embracing his hair. That is not an embrace that you get from someone who is a grieving widow. That is not an embrace that, as a married man, you should be giving. But everybody says, dear friends, I don't give a damn. Okay, we're talking about public perception. And here's what's happening. All of a sudden, you see the fact that Mrs. Shady Vance is being held to the mark because he wants her to convert to Christianity. But she's a Hindu. The problem with that, MAGA is not going to accept a Hindu in any way, shape, or form. Now, you think about Turning Point. Turning Point is the new MAGA, so to speak. Because MAGA, Make America Grown Again, has been tainted by the Epstein files. And there's a big giant skunk stew being cooked right now. And King Cankles is in the middle of the pot because he has become a liability. He's incontinent. He's incompetent. He dotes around. He wanders around like a lost little puppy. and this is your leader? We've lost the tariff war. I went to the butcher the other day, and a steak that normally cost me $20, that sucker was $24. A carton of eggnog, a half gallon of eggnog that I can usually get for somewhere $4.55, that was $6.15. So don't tell me that we aren't taking it in the ass as far as these tariffs are concerned. But this week, I'm happier than a fat boy in a farting contest because I have a man that burst on the scene, and you know him, Gunny in the Wild. That's right. Gunny is my guest today. Simplify to that Marine. We got all kinds of things that we need to talk, that I want to talk about. I want to find out how this came to be, that a lifelong Marine is all of a sudden riding around on the back of his Harley with a fuck Trump flag and black fingernails. I need to know all of that. So stick around. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been looking forward to this segment like you would not believe ever since I announced it. There are people that I have met through the course of Facebook that have left an impression. But when I catch a military person leaving an impression, oh, hell yeah. I got to find out what exactly is going on. So I'm going to say this. Semper Fi, Gunny, and welcome, brother.
Semper Fi, sir. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm happier than a fat boy in a farting contest having you with me today. Because ever since I saw you on Facebook, I've wondered, how the hell did this man go from a lifelong gunnery sergeant, a Marine, to riding around Indiana with a fuck Trump flag on the back of his Harley? How the hell did that happen?
All right. So to be perfectly clear, you know, like while I was on active duty, I wasn't like, didn't really like follow a whole lot with particular politics. And my family had always, was always kind of split, mostly Democratic and Republican or whatever. I got out and believe it or not, I was like, I come from the Rush Limbaugh crowd back way when I got out of back from Iraq in 2004. So I had since evolved, but more specifically 6 years ago I met my wife, and she's super liberal, super progressive. So when her and I met, I wasn't really doing anything with politics or whatnot, but my views had definitely changed over time since her and I had gotten together. Well, about 2 years ago I bought my Harley. And that was before the before the election and all that kind of stuff with the bill that.
Right.
But a few months before the election, I did a flatback post to a MAGA, and his comments said, make sure you keep your Harris Wall signs out in your front yard so when the Civil War starts, we know where to come. So I did a video in my front yard where I had my Harris Wall sign, and I put my biker vest on with my my jump wings and all that stuff on there, and I picked it up, and I go, here you go, big dog, and I put it back closer to the road. And I said, I'm ready. Desert Storm, Somalia, and two tours in Iraq. And that video got 2.4 million views. And my wife said, you know what? I think you can be doing something better with your platform. And I had about 2,000 followers at the time. So that's how I started getting into, I started doing the live debates and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Gunny in the Wild didn't start until probably around May or June of this year, though.
Okay. That's when I first popped up. Let me back up a little bit. Let's talk about your Marine career. How long were you in? Just the basics. And I know you were deployed four times from what you just said. So talk about, so because you get the same crap that I get. People who say, take that hat off, or you're not a Marine, or you are a disgrace. Let's talk about your career for a second, shall we?
Okay. Yeah. So I went to Parris Island, South Carolina in July of 1990, graduated boot camp, went to my MCT and then my MOS training at Courthouse Bay in Camp Lejeune. And then literally I was at home on my leave, and I had gotten called back early, and I had deployed to Desert Storm with the 15th BU. So I had done my first Westpac. And so that's how I ended up over in Desert Storm. We came back, rotated back, stayed back another 6 months. I did another Westpac, which took me to Somalia. And that was Operation Restore Hope. I actually have a video on my TikTok. I got interviewed by Dan Rather on top of the Mogadishu airport.
Outstanding.
Yeah, and I can send that to you.
Okay.
And then I had re-enlisted around that time, and I became a parachute rigger. I was a logistician prior to that. And so I went to airborne school, and then I went to parachute rigger school, turned back around and went to jump master. And then we did a lot of air delivery stuff like that. And then an opening came up at a force recon unit in 97, and did the indoc and all that kind of stuff. So I ended up working I&I duty at 4th Force Recon. So then I ended up going to Halo, Jumpmaster, HRST, all the kind of special operations type stuff that Force Recon does. Didn't go to dive school or anything like that, but it did all the stuff that involved insertion and extraction, I did. And then when I left Hawaii in late 02, then I ended up doing two tours in Iraq, 03 and 04, with 1st Marine Division.
Roger that. Yeah. Roger that. Now, when we all speak acronyms in the military, and the one thing he mentioned was a HALO. Now, a HALO is a high altitude, low opening jump. So my lips are not working. What altitude are you jumping from?
Training altitude, like we did in the unit, generally we would just do 10,000 feet, or actually it's 9,999, because 10,000 above you need oxygen. But at school, the training minimum was 14,500. And then now my highest jump, I've got two jumps at 30,000 feet out of a C-17. Oof. Which is pretty it's fun, scary, and kind of takes a long time to get ready for, because you have to pre-breathe oxygen on the ground for 90 minutes. And then we did one really cool jump at 25,000 feet over the top of out in Reno. And we did a hop and pop. So we pulled at 20. And so we were under canopy for, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. And I remember flying over downtown Reno. I'm like, I sure hope I hit the drop
zone. So how does a professional soldier, and that's basically what you are, a professional Marine, end up on the back of a Harley Davidson, and some of the interactions that you have? And I'm glad you got those GoPros, because that makes you, let's talk about your interactions that you get. You get from subliminal to sublime.
Yeah. So what started Gunny in the Wild? I used to record songs. Like Public Enemy was one of my big ones. I used to record and sing like Public Enemy, because they had some songs from the past that were really outspoken, right?
Okay.
So at the time, I was just going down my street right over here in the back, and I was playing Public Enemy, just trying to do a political writing song video. Well, this black Dodge pickup pulls up, and I see in my rear view, this guy's going like this, like he wants me to pull over. And I'm like, what does this guy want? So I kept going. And I pull up in the right-hand lane to turn right, and he pulls up in the middle lane to go straight. And this is the video. It ended up, it's got millions of views sitting on it right now, but he goes, can I cuss on here or no?
Yeah.
Okay. He goes, good. And so I didn't have my Insta360 at the time. I just had my GoPro, so you can just see me.
Right.
You can hear him go, get that fucking shit. He's losing his mind. Get that fucking shit out of here. Why don't you grow some fucking balls? Get the fuck out of the country. And I was like, why don't you get the fuck out of the country? And I was like, you don't like my flag? He's like, I go, are you mad about my flag? He goes, yeah. And so he was just, I mean, he went off. And I'm laughing. And that's what people really like, is because a lot of times at the end of the videos, I laugh.
Yeah,
people love the laugh because I'm so unbothered by their responses, because they just help blow up my content.
Exactly.
So that was my very first interaction. So I don't know if you follow Steve, but he's a Fact Still Matter on TikTok. Great guy. He rides a Harley. But he had said, you know what? You need to start something called Gunny in the Wild. And I'm like, I like the sound of that.
Oh, yeah. So
immediately. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this again. And man, I was getting interactions left and right. And it's had its ups and its downs, but even more so now, believe it or not, the negative stuff that you see, and keep in mind, I'm in a red state. The part that's MAGA being mad is 10%, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And people love the Jerry Springer Show. The other 90% is all friendly people. So I'm like, is there a dramatic shift happening in a red state right now where where people are like kind of seeing the light and could this state go purple or whatever the case may be. But that 10%, man, they are bothered.
They are truly rattled because the introduction that I made earlier was the fact that at this point, King Cankles has become a liability because he is so tainted by this Epstein deal. And they know that they cannot hold the representative from Texas out forever. So once she's sworn in and she becomes Grijalva, once she becomes, I call it Gravely. But once she's sworn in, and she has that deciding vote, that splitting vote, then all hell is going to break loose.
Yep.
So that's the reason why they're so rattled right now. And then they're trying to hold and control power by gerrymandering every state that they possibly can. But here's the one thing I you know, because we in the military are supposed to be apolitical. And I'm wondering how you're feeling about Trump using the military as a backdrop for his bullshit.
So I think it's just a major misuse of his power. It violates posse comitatus, the whole nine. I actually went out to D.C. with the veterans that started the process out there at the tent with Flair. And I don't know if you remember the guy, his name is Jay, who burned the flag in front of the Capitol.
I do.
That's my buddy Jay. I was actually talking to him today. And so we were out there together. We were staying in the same Airbnb out there. So we were out there protesting in it. Now, here's the interesting thing. It was about 50-50 of the people that were out there. But, okay, the West Virginia National Guard was like, fuck this shit. We don't want to be here. I don't even know why we're here. But then the other 50%, like, some of them volunteered for it. Now, they weren't, like, assholes to anybody at the time. Now, that was a couple of months ago. Now, if you've watched what's going on there now, big mix up with some of the teenagers out in the big area out there.
Right.
And I think there's been two particular incidences where they've apprehended two different individuals out there, and they're not authorized to do it, and they're not trained to do it. Keep in mind, we probably got a bunch of young troopers out there that are just like drinking Trump's Kool-Aid that are looking for something like this to happen.
Exactly.
So that they can get off on the power of it. So my personal opinion is that Trump is doing all of this on purpose nationwide, particularly in Democratic ran cities. Cause I think in the end he wants to invoke the Insurrection Act and martial law because he wants to suppress the vote and intimidate people from going to the voting booth. Just my opinion. That's just how I see it. And that's one of the reasons that keeps me going to doing what I do, to expose what this authoritarianism that Trump is doing right now violates everything that the Constitution is about and everything that you and I as service members took that oath for.
And that's the one thing that I like to remind people, that when you and I raised our right hand to that oath of enlistment, if you look on the bottom line, there is no expiration date on that oath. So therefore, we are sworn for the rest of our lives to protect this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And right now, and I've said this many, many times, and I'll say it again, Donald Trump is the biggest domestic threat that we have. He's weakening our country. He's weakening our economy. He's got a body count because now he's killing people in Venezuela just because he suspects them of drug dealing when that is not his area of enforcement. And they are in international waters. The boats that they are piloting would never reach American shores. But yet and still, he feels the need to blow them out of the water in their own country. Now, you had mentioned D.C. I have preached what seems like forever that there needs to be 10 million people on the streets of Washington, D.C. You and I both will be in Washington, D.C. on 11/22, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Talk about that a bit, if you would.
The remove the regime?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. So I first got notification of that. Cliff Cash, who is a comedian, I met him on my first trip to D.C. So he had started organizing this in conjunction with Flair. He sent me a flyer and he wanted me to collaborate on that post because I've got over 500,000 followers on my Instagram. So I did that, and then I started talking about it. And so it's going to be even. So it seems like every day that I wake up, that everything that we need to do to speak out of what's going on and like get the masses together becomes more and more important each and every day, because he ramps up his rhetoric. He ramps up everything that he's doing, and we got to continue to do the same. We cannot let our foot off the gas. So the more people that we can get a turnout in DC, the better, the clearer that message is going to be. And just what my shirt says here, that Trump must go. And I don't know if they, I mean, invoke the 25th. I mean, I don't know how, you know, they probably wouldn't get the votes, but he needs to be gone because he is absolutely ruining this country. And if you listen to Obama talking today, I think he was in Norfolk, Virginia. He said just that fact. And I'm just like, so I can't like say it, you know, any more clear that if you have the ability to get out to DC on 11/22, please be there. And if you can't, support in any way that you can, and continue just to, you know, everybody's got a role in this, and no matter how big or small it is, do your best to do your the smallest part you can or the biggest part you can, because it will eventually make a difference. And even if we do this for 3.5 more years, and he doesn't get voted out of office or whatever, they know that we're not, they know that we're not going to accept what's going on, and we're going to continue this fight.
I couldn't have said that any better. The other thing that I'd like to add to that is your local politicians start to roast their asses.
Okay? Yeah, I just started doing that.
Hold their feet to the fire, because they're enjoying, while people are starving because the SNAP benefits are gone, the Congress is still getting paid. Okay, while you're starving at Mar-a-Lago, they're having these multi-million dollar balls with your money. And they're just partying their asses off while you're worrying about where your next meal comes from.
Yep. And I did a post on that today. They had, it's on my TikTok right now. They had moms, working families. There was a veteran. And my point to posting that video is saying, you know, MAGA and Republicans, the party of protect, you know, we love the women and protect the women and the children and support our veterans. Those are all the people that this is going to affect. It doesn't even matter what side of the fence you're on, because it's all inclusive. And it's just like horrifying. And I started going after targeting Mike Braun, governor of Indiana, and Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith as well. I'm actually going to Mike Braun's luncheon next week. One of my followers sent me a heads up and say he's having we're hosting a luncheon next week. It would be cool, wink, wink, if you could show up. So that's what I plan to do.
Oh, my God. If you had a message, well, let me put it another way. What message would you give to young troops today?
All right. So first of all, okay, I want you to really think about what is happening here and take a look at, you know, what the oath actually says, and open your eyes to what's going on in the world to say, and sit back and ask yourself, is this really what I should be fighting for? Hoping, or that my president wants me to put hands on citizens who are just expressing their First Amendment rights of speech and speaking out against the government? Is this something that I really, am I really buying into this? And start to think critically, because I think that's one of the biggest problems we have in the world today, at least with MAGA, is one, they're super low information. They're uninformed across the board on civics and how the government works and all that stuff. But more importantly, critically think about what these things are doing to real life people.
Exactly.
You know, growing up, I've always been a super sympathetic and empathetic person. My wife, she laughs because I portray this like tough guy image or whatever. And I'm a big softy, but even all the hardship that I did in the military, I still had that heart inside me that said, you know what? Yeah. I care about what's going on in my country right now. And I sure hope that you guys too, because I can't imagine that some of these young Marines and sailors and airmen and soldiers could look at, sit back and say, yeah, this is what I voted for. I just can't see that. So yeah. Do your due diligence, think critically, and look at really take a hard look at really what's going on. This is what I would say.
The one thing that I guess I like to leave, because one day you're not always going to be in the military. And at the end of that service, when you receive that DD-214, you want to be able to believe deep in your heart that you did your job to the best of your ability with honor and integrity at all times. Right. There should be no hole where anybody can come back and pull you on the carpet for something that you did that is out of pocket or off color. Yeah. And if you follow the orders that are coming out of the White House now, you will be held responsible.
Yeah.
Now, he may have immunity, but your little ass does not.
Yeah. And there, you know, there's an 800 number now that troops can call if they're questioning the orders that are coming down, because we posted it on the tent in D.C. that there's a number that you can call if you're curious about whether or not you should be following a particular order. You can call a troop, a soldier, a Marine, whatever. They can call this number. Lance Corporal, doesn't even matter. They can call this number and say, hey, I got questions. And
amen.
Not, whether or not this is considered a lawful order or not.
Amen. One last question here, Gunny. Yeah. Where the hell did the black fingernail polish come from, brother? Oh,
it's actually green.
So, okay.
Yeah. So back in 2009 or so, I was part of a mixed martial arts school, and they had a fight team on there and all that kind of stuff or whatever. For whatever reason, the Sifu there, he painted his toenails and he did his fingernails and stuff too. And it's something that I've been doing off and on for years and years and years. But as of late, the fingernail polish started really taking off, especially with a lot of the left side content creators.
Yeah.
So when I picked it up again, when I first started doing this, I noticed that it's an immediate trigger for MAGA. So I immediately was like, I'm going to keep doing it.
Cause, amen. Yeah,
no, and I even made an AI video. It said, because somebody said, never trust a Marine that paints his nails. It looks like you got some sugar in your tank. I did an AI song and danced to it called Sugar in the Tank in front of my Harley, and I posted it.
Hilarious. You know, you definitely have hit on the key, because they take themselves so seriously, and they're too stupid to be serious. So you have to laugh at them. And I came to that conclusion here a few days ago, because after all of the racial epithets and things that I have received, I was starting to snap and I was ready to take a body count. But then I thought, no, because then I'm in jail dodging Big Bubba and his dangling member. So no, I ain't doing that. So I just decided to laugh at him. And that is indeed the key. My brother, man, you already know your family. And
yeah, I appreciate that. And I really look forward to meeting you in DC, by the way.
Oh man, we need to talk, because I'm trying to find out where everybody's going to stay, because I have a contingency that wants to come with.
Okay.
So, as soon as you find out if there's a central location, because normally what I do is I get a hotel over in Alexandria, which is only seven miles away, and I get a rate over there at the Hampton Inn, Pentagon Square. Nice. And so if nobody ends up with a central location, let me know and we can just do a package over there and everybody centrally located.
I'm down with that too, because I've already got a lot of people. Where are you going to be at, Gunny? Where are you going to be at, this and that? Cliff has been busy, so I'm trying to get in touch with him to see what his people are going to do.
Yeah.
If all else fails, and me and you can always work something, I'm happy to do that as well. But we'll definitely talk off online before the 22nd for sure.
Roger that. Any parting words you want to leave, Gunny?
Hey, make sure. Tune in. Continue to tune in. To be fair, it's getting a little bit cold out. So there might be a little bit of lag and gunny in the wild. I'm still going to try to get out and do it. I'm still going to post great content. So keep an eye out for it. I'm going to stay on all the issues. I'm going to stay on top of all these freaking authoritarian fascist dictators as much as I can. But I appreciate all the support from all my followers, everything that you guys do, everything that you guys do. You guys all make this possible, and I just greatly appreciate you guys.
Outstanding, outstanding. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him as Gunny in the Wild.
All right.
Don't hit.
Sir, take care. I do that.
As I have mentioned before in the past, one of the segments that I was adamant about having here in Cover Your Six podcast was called Our Ring of Honor. I've had a lot of military people through here, but this person that I'm having honored this week, oh man, he's something special. Back in the day when I was a kid in Memphis, I told you folks that my grandmother was heavy into the activities of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And they would hold meetings in the living room where all of the furniture was covered with plastic covers. But boy, they had a ball and they did some planning. And one of the people who came through my grandmother's living room, because I remember him adamantly, he was a young man, was John Lewis. John Lewis, that man who said, good trouble is always worth it. Well, I want to honor Representative John Lewis. May he rest in peace, for he is a national hero.
This week, we salute our Ring of Honor recipient, John Robert Lewis, February 21st, 1940, July 17th, 2020. In 1955, a boy in Troy, Alabama, heard Dr. King on the radio and something sparked. By 15, he preached his first sermon. At 17, he met Rosa Parks. At 18, he met Dr. King. He sat at Nashville's segregated lunch counters. He rode buses into danger with the Freedom Riders. As chair of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, he helped lead the March on Washington. On March 7, 1965, he stepped onto the Edmund Pettus Bridge, leading a peaceful march for voting rights. State troopers attacked. Bloody Sunday broke bones, but not his will. From 1987 to 2020, Congressman Lewis served Georgia's 5th District, turning moral courage into law. He called us to make good trouble, necessary trouble, for justice. So we remember and we continue. Today we honor John Lewis, an American legend.